Good afternoon, everyone. Today is August 5th, 2015, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and this brand new show, Singing for Your Soul. Your host, Kimberly Harrison, will explore the wonderful world of the human voice, music, and sound healing. Learn how improving your voice for singing and speaking helps you literally raise and tune your vibrational frequency, improve health, self-confidence, and self-expression, and grow in many areas, including spirituality, creativity, emotions, finances, relationships, life paths, and more. I know she has a wonderful show planned for you today, so without further ado, I give you your host, Kimberly Harrison.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kimberly, and I'm so excited to be here with you. You know, this radio show has been a long time coming. It's something that I've been thinking about doing for a while, and here it is. It has arrived. It has manifested. So I'm very excited to be here with you today and introduce you to what I really believe Singing for Your Soul is. And it really came about, this business of Singing for Your Soul came about because I really wanted to always live a life in which I was finding ways for my soul to really soar and to really sing. And that's both literal and figurative language right there. So what I really want to do is share things that make my soul soar and sing. And I'm really hoping that in doing that, that your soul will also soar and sing as we go on these journeys together. So in my time as a voice teacher, which is actually longer than I'd like to admit at this point, I've been doing it for a while. And what I've been fascinated by is that I have so many people who I've met and worked with who want to sing. And yes, there are people who want to sound better or who want to even do this professionally. But what the common thread is that people who I end up working with have this deep desire to explore their voices in a way that is very profound. And they're really recognizing that voice work is this deep and necessary part of our inner journey. And it's really like this integration process where we're chewing and digesting and assimilating our life experience so that it's becoming so much more than experience. So experience happens, and if we don't learn anything from it, then it's just experience, and then we just go, well, that happened. But when we do this chewing and digesting and assimilating, then this experience can become wisdom. And so I've been meeting with these people, literally hundreds of people, who are interested in incorporating singing and speaking and voice work, breath work, as a way of life that basically helps us to till the soil of our lives and to nourish and tend to it and water it so that we can grow and harvest these really rich crops. So I look at singing as something that used to be a part of this inner journey. And it was really supported by and took place in community. So yes, it's a very personal journey that's unique to each of us, the journey to finding our authentic voice and to expressing that and to how we choose to do that. But we used to do that in a communal setting so that the community is supporting our personal journey and growing because of it. So that it really becomes something that's shared as this transpersonal and really, like, really lively part of the collective experience. And the way I see the current trend of music right now is that really we have these amazing performers who are incredibly gifted and may have worked incredibly hard to get where they are and are at the top of their game, and they can do these incredible things with their voices. And it's this very transcendent experience to go and to watch them perform. And so I really think highly of this incredibly high art form. I think it's an important part of our human experience to share that and to be taken to these places that just bring awe and wonder to us and that express things that words can't express the way music can and singing can. So I definitely am not saying there's anything wrong with fine art or with having people who are incredibly good at what they do. But I see that in our current state, that our approach to music is imbalanced because we're missing a crucial part of the equation, which is making our own music and using our own voices as a creative and interactive and self-discovery, self-expression process. So this type of pursuit, even if it's in your own living room, even if it's just with a small group of people and doesn't seem like it has very far-reaching consequences the way somebody who's on stage singing for literally millions of people would have, it's still incredibly powerful. Think about the mother who decides to take time for herself and take an art class or take voice lessons. I've had so many mothers who have come in to take voice lessons so that they could have their me time, something to focus on for themselves. So think about the mother that's pursuing something creative that is just for her, that is really nourishing her and helping her grow. And then she comes home and she's able to be more loving and more present and more fulfilled with her family because she's taking that time aside. And that ripples out in ways that we could never even begin to measure. So when we take care of ourselves and nourish our own creative spirit, we are really doing, I believe, a huge service to humanity. So voice work is what we're really here to talk about. And to me, it's so deep and it touches on such enduring and archetypal themes. And I really see the journey to find our voices as very much a mythological hero or heroine's journey. And so these mythological stories often have overarching themes that are common among them. So one thing that's very common is this initiation experience. So the hero or heroine has to go through these tasks that often involve a descent into the underworld. And that's going into a dark place, potentially in the psyche, to have experiences that are possibly harrowing. Some of them are very jarring and even traumatic. And depending on the story, the hero or the heroine leaves that experience with a completely different perspective on life. And there's this common theme that if we learn through this kind of journey, we're learning endurance and resilience, and we make our way out and through, and we're really doing that digesting and chewing and assimilating that I was talking about earlier of our life experience, then eventually we will emerge from this underworld experience with a whole newfound radiance, a new perspective, and a new life force that's been ignited within us, and a new wisdom. And also a deeper connection with our own instinctual and wildish nature. I love singing because it really, really brings up that wildish nature. And some of the sounds that we often make in voice lessons, like howling, like wolves, they just really bring up something that is so vital to us and that has been layered by societal expectations from the time that we were small, right? We all have been, I don't want to say but we have to become part of a culture and we have to work within the confines of society. And, you know, from the time we're little, we're told to be quiet, use your inside voice. We hear no a lot. We may have been embarrassed about something that we said, and we make a decision that we always have to say the perfect thing, or all of these kinds of things that sort of disconnect us or put some dirt over top of that wildish nature that is within us. And what's interesting is when we're little, we have a very deep connection to that wildish nature. It's very much a part of us, right? Little kids run around and hoot and holler and have a great time, and they just do it because that's how they have to do it. But as we get older and that starts to get dulled and kind of distanced, we also are starting to lose that innocence that little children have, right? They have that innocence and that naivete. And as we do this journey through the underworld, we are losing that innocence, but we're also reconnecting with this wildish nature, and we're becoming more wise and more shrewd and more seasoned by life. So this is really how I see the journey of finding our voices. And it's an ongoing journey. This cycle, going through the underworld and coming back up and having these life experiences, is ongoing and it doesn't stop. And I really don't see it even stopping with death. I really see a life-death-life cycle as part of what we are involved in. And I want my soul to keep singing after I die. That's going to happen. My soul is going to keep singing whether anybody hears it or not. I just want it to be out there sort of moving through the world in a very vital way because of how I lived my life. So finding our voices is both literal and figurative, right? I've been talking a lot about the figurative. And the thing is that it really is about how we sound, and I definitely love working with people on the sound of their voices and why that matters. And it's also how we say what we say. So the words we choose and the tone of our voices and the intention or the subtext behind the words of what we're saying and the delivery of them. But it's even more than what we're saying or how we're saying it. Finding our voices is also about the ability to be able to listen well to other people and to the world around us. So we're wanting to hone and engage our ability to truly hear others and to see past appearances and into the deeper soul of things. So in this show, it's really my intention to share as much information as possible with you that will really help you with the journey of finding and expressing your own authentic voice in your life. And I'm really talking about all areas of your life, and no matter what walk of life you're doing or no matter what role you're playing, that you're really feeling that you're more able to find and express yourself authentically. And to do that, we're going to be exploring both the technical side of singing, so vocal technique and vocal health and mental health and mindset and all of those kinds of things. But we're also going to be looking into some of the mental and emotional and spiritual side of using our voices, because to me, it's really a marriage of the technical how to sound good, and then also how to use our voices and how to fill them with soul, you know, how to really be connected and authentic. So I have started videos on YouTube. I've got a blog. I've got this radio show now. And all of these are different platforms, different ways for us to engage and to look at doing voice work. The videos are really helpful because you can see me and I can show you things that are more difficult to show if we're just talking on a radio show. And then the blog is nice for being able to go more in depth into some different kinds of concepts, whether it be vocal technique or some of the mind, body, spirit aspects of voice work. So all through all of this, what I'm really hoping is to show you different ways that voice work can benefit you and your life and other people in your life. And so as we move forward with this show, not today, today is really an introduction, but as we move forward, I'm going to be introducing you to a lot of wonderful people and doing interviews with people who have been in my life and been very influential and wonderful people. So clients who have just really taken their voices and run with it, and also singer friends and people who are involved in health and wellness and some of the mind, body, spirit aspects of living. So I'm really hoping that we will be able to go on this just wonderful journey together. And I see that some people are interested in vocal technique specifically, and other people are interested in the mind, body, spirit essence of voice. And some of you are interested in getting help with performance anxiety or with life anxiety in general. And there are other people who are, you know, looking at vocal health and longevity, might have some vocal problems that have come up, maybe some nodules or, you know, some sort of damage that has occurred for some reason. And we can definitely cover some of those topics. And, you know, also people are wanting to perform professionally and make a career of it. And then other people just want to sing for fun. And, well, wait a minute, I've got to back up. So I hope that everybody who happens to be listening to this would want to sing for fun. That is a big thing with me. I love the word fun. I really want to make things fun in my life. And I'll talk a little bit later in the show about how I came to this point in my life where I realized that singing wasn't fun for me anymore. And that was a really defining moment for me, because I really made a decision to go in a completely different direction at that point in my life, when I realized that music didn't have the joy that I started out with, and I wanted to reclaim that joy. So I hope that everybody would want to sing for fun, and it can definitely be a lot of fun and would be one of my main reasons to do it. So those are some of the things that we will be covering and delving into as time moves on. And I also really want to share information that is going to help me go deeper more quickly with people who would end up working with me either one-on-one or in various workshops that I teach. So, you know, it's always nice to have a background so that we can just, when we get together, we go in there deeper. We already have a collective understanding of some of the concepts that I'll be covering in these shows, and then we're able to work that much more in depth and quickly together. And, you know, it's basically that I just want to give you as many options as possible and help you take this journey with your voice wherever you're dreaming of taking it. And there's one thing that I do want to stress, and that is that I've made a conscious decision after a lot of thought to not teach all of the exercises that I actually do teach one-on-one or in classes. And the reason is that some of the work is very intense. There's a lot of cathartic shouting kinds of sounds that, oh my gosh, I was really worried that I wasn't going to have any clients when I started teaching this to people. And the opposite happened. People loved it. They couldn't believe how empowered their voices felt and how good it felt to make those kinds of sounds and how many areas of their lives it actually really helped. So these exercises are incredibly powerful and strengthening for your voice and for your psyche. But the thing about them is that if somebody were to misunderstand what I'm saying and I'm not there to help correct, then there is the danger that you could hurt yourself. And I definitely never want people to hurt themselves. I do not want to cause injury. I only want to help bring about growth and healing and, you know, self-empowerment. So that's why I've made that decision, to make sure that I'm giving people information that is actually really helpful for them. And it's just important that if you're doing some of this intense kind of work, for you to know that you don't always have to have your coach with you. It's okay to practice at home in between, but it is important to have somebody who can check in with you and make sure that you're doing it in a healthy way and that you're not misconstruing it and causing the wrong kinds of tension instead of the right kinds of healthy tension that occur when you do this. So I just wanted you to know that and understand why I won't be going into some of those more intense aspects of voice work, at least on the show or some of my other online presences. So we're going to get into sound meditation a bit here in a minute, and I'm going to share first a bit of my own story and my journey with my own voice so that you know how I came to be here talking with you today. But before we do that, I actually want to take just a moment to do a very simple sound awareness exercise. And it's actually very simple, but also very profound. I have really felt my life shift because I practice this regularly. I'm going to take a sip of water. So if wherever you are, if you can just kind of get still for a moment and settle in and kind of go within. And I want you to just bring up the sound of a loved one's voice, someone who you just really love and feel safe with. And just feel the effects that just thinking about their voice have on your body. So I'm just going to give you a minute to tune into that. So what I'm noticing is that my body felt calmer. I felt a softening in my body, and my heart rate slowed. Sometimes my heart rate will speed up if I'm excited to see somebody that I really love and haven't seen for a while. But generally the experience is that I feel safe and my heart rate slows down and I can just, you know, feel a softening on my skin and in my muscles and tissues in my body. So it's a very warm and fuzzy kind of experience that I have with different loved ones and their voices. So now I want you to take a moment. Well, think about a different kind of voice, a voice that for you is like nails on a chalkboard. It doesn't have to be a voice that sounds like nails on a chalkboard, but something that just really kind of makes you crazy. And for me, it's Fran Drescher from The Nanny, you know, how she talks, and it's kind of forward in her nose, and I don't have the accent down very well, but you can hear this quality, like, oh, hello. It's this very nasal forward sound, and it just kind of drives me batty after listening to it for a while. So what I can tell in my body is that my body gets really scattered and agitated feeling, like everything's getting scrambled and the energy is just frenetic. And that is the power of sound, okay? We're in a little bit of a gray area because everybody's voices are going to affect us all differently. And it doesn't always have to be the greatest voice to have a positive impact on us. I always think of Bob Dylan. He's not the greatest singer ever, but I love his music. And obviously many, many, many people really love his music and the message because he's so authentically connected. So it's not always about how good you sound, but there is this very real fact that people's voices affect us on a physical level. And even more than that, that our own voices are affecting us on a physical level. So if we're using too much tension when we talk, like if I'm, or, you know, if I'm doing a lot of vocal fry like this and talking down here, first of all, I sound like a different person and it's probably a little bit annoying to listen to me talk like that. But I'm actually doing things that are taking extra energy and tension in my body that aren't necessary, that is just over time going to take its toll. But then there's also the fact that the sounds that we're making are affecting our physical bodies. So if I am speaking like that, then the sound that's affecting my body right now is sort of scratchy and frenetic and ugh. And if I'm talking like this, there's a smoother quality to it. And honestly, it's having a better physiological effect because my voice is reverberating through my muscles and tissues. And sound actually has an organizing principle. I'm not going to talk about that much today because I have a lot of other stuff to cover, but sound does help organize our muscles and our tissues into a healthier state. So the point of that little exercise is to kind of move forward with a new awareness of other people around us and of our own ways of using our voices and seeing, well, is there something that I'm doing that I could do less of? It? Could I make this easier on myself? Could I have this sound better on, and just give myself and the people around me a break with the ways that I'm using my voice? So let's talk about now my ongoing vocal journey. You know, my mother went into labor with me. If we want to go very back to the beginning, first of all, I'm sure I listened to tons of music in the womb. We have a very musical family on my mom's side. And I was in my mother's womb at an Army Navy band concert in our little town, which was very exciting because we often don't have, you know, big concerts like that come through. So anyway, I'm in the womb kicking away because there's super heavy percussion going on and I was getting into it. And I believe I was actually kicking in time for the record. So I came into the world, like her water broke right in the concert there and they had to rush out and get to the hospital. So I what can I say? Music is my thing. It's always been just the thing that completely has my attention and my love throughout my life. And my grandparents had a Dixieland jazz band. My grandfather was like Louis Armstrong incarnate in a white man. So he had that kind of scratchy, gravelly voice. Speaking of loved ones' voices who are scratchy and gravelly and make you happy, he had that kind of voice and performed. He played trumpet and my grandma played piano and sang and she also played percussion. So it was a very musical family and they did a lot of performing and I started performing with them when I was about three. And I just couldn't get enough. I loved it. I loved performing. I loved seeing people happy, seeing the joy that it brought to them. Obviously, a three-year-old it's not very hard to bring joy to people when you're three, because three-year-olds are cute. But I just loved that whole experience. So I really kept with music all the way through school and into college, and I knew that I wanted to major in music. But what was going on is that I was really struggling with performance anxiety, and it was just getting worse and worse. And I'll tell you, it is not fun to perform. I'm sure many of you have had this experience. It's not fun to perform with anxiety. And what was actually happening for me is that I was having panic attacks. I didn't know it at the time, but I was having bona fide certified panic attacks while trying to perform. So it would feel like a switch got switched in my nervous system, and I was suddenly in fight or flight, and I couldn't think straight. I couldn't access my breath. It was very shallow. I was shaking. My voice would shake uncontrollably, and my mind would just completely race, and I could not sing and perform well under those circumstances. And I was actually performing for much of this time under contract professionally. I was ending up with these, you know, these gigs. Like I would do the audition, I'd make it through, and I was performing and expected to show up and do my job, which of course I wanted to do. That was the only thing. I just loved music, and I wanted to make beautiful music, and I wanted to sing well. And then I would get out there and just completely go to pieces. And it was a really harrowing experience. Talk about a descent into the underworld. That was a major descent into the underworld for me to go through that. And I really beat myself up. I thought it was my fault. I was really angry with myself, and I was really hard on myself, and would just beat myself up and tell myself, you need to get it together. You need to stop doing this. What is wrong with you? And that, of course, didn't have a very positive effect either. So it took a lot of years for me to begin understanding why I was having panic attacks while performing, and even more years to be able to start to perform without having them. But I had some pretty big performance opportunities come my way when I was in my early 20s, and I had only been studying singing for a few years at that point, and I really did not feel like I owned my voice. And I just didn't really understand how to use it. And then I was having these panic attacks, and not understanding my voice fully made me even more nervous. So it was just this compounding problem. And my voice teacher at the time, an amazing and wonderfully world famous soprano, Phyllis Curtin, I believe she's in her 90s now, but she counseled me against it. She said, I think that you need to wait until you're really ready, until you really feel like you've integrated your voice before you start taking performances of this caliber. Because if you come out in New York City, you know, and these venues, people are going to remember. They're not going to forget that first performance. And if it's not really solid, then it's going to be really a challenge for you to overcome that, both in your own mind and then in the minds of others. So I'm really happy that I took her advice. And as it turned out, the classical musical world, which is what I was performing classical music at the time, it really wasn't my performance world anyway. So I ended up being basically dragged kicking and screaming onto a different path. But I'm actually really happy now that that path unfolded. So I, you know, I went to grad school. I was performing professionally, having these worsening anxiety attacks, and I hit a really low point. I mean, I was like at the bottom of the underworld at this point. And I just thought, wow, I'm miserable, but I really still want to sing. And I think what's going to have to happen is I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to decide that I'm going to get through this, and I'm just going to keep going until I find my way through and trust that there are some answers to these problems that I'm having, or I'm going to stop singing professionally, and maybe it will be a hobby for me, but I'm going to have to think of something else to do with my life besides sing and teach. And I hadn't even really been teaching a ton at that time, although I was doing some. But I remember reading Raina Maria Rilke's Letters to a Young Poet. It's a great book for those of you who haven't read it, where he's talking back and forth with this young poet who has sent some of his poetry to Rilke, who was a very accomplished and well-known poet at the time. And in those letters, he basically says to this young man who is asking him, well, should I be a poet? How do I know? How do I know if this is really my calling? And Rilke says to him, if you can't imagine your life without it, then you must do it. And if you can imagine your life without it, then don't. Do it as a hobby, but don't try to make it your life, because it's going to require some real grit. And I remember reading that and I just went, I have to. I can't imagine my life without singing. I have to have music, and I want to move through this. I want to find the answers. So I bumbled along. I did the best I could. I was willing to be humiliated time and again, in order to start observing myself and working on some of these issues. I moved to Los Angeles to work with a voice coach who my friend had introduced me to, another singer friend, and he really did help me. He was amazing at sort of helping me untangle the mess that was in my mind. A lot of the vocal technique problems that I was having were starting with my thought process. And this teacher, Don Berniger, he's in Pasadena, California. He's amazing. And a lot of our lessons, we didn't even sing. Most of the lessons, in fact, we didn't sing. I was such a wound up mess around singing that I would get so nervous, I would literally just shake and want to go to pieces. So we talked a lot, and he would just drop in these beautiful little pebbles into the pond that was me. It wasn't a still pond. It was a very crazy pond, but he helped me kind of still my pond down and pay attention to some things that were happening. So he would have me make a sound, and then he would say, did you notice the buzz across the bridge of your nose when you did that? Or, you know, did you notice the sounds in this room? Did you notice that there's a lot of acoustical information happening wherever you are? There's always some sort of sound going on. Have you ever paid attention to that? And he would send me off, and I would just have these sort of zen-like experiences with paying attention to some of the things that we would talk about. And I really started to relax and to calm down and to realize that singing requires very careful attention to physical sensation. And that's the fastest way for us to find our way to what works or what doesn't work, is by paying attention to sensation. And it's funny to me that I've been doing yoga and meditation and really healthy eating for a number of years before I had started to work with Don Berniger, but I had never applied those to my singing. I was so focused on externals of what people were thinking about me. Was my voice teacher happy? Did she make a happy face when I sang that? Did the audience like that? What would other people think about me? I was so focused on externals that I was not even present to what was actually happening when I sang. So that was a big shift for me that really helped me start to unwind some of that anxiety, was just to start to enjoy the process and put more attention on what I thought and what I was experiencing and owning my own reality within that. So I was doing a lot of exploration. I was rolling around on the floor. I was rethinking my approach to breathing. The breathing that I had been taught within classical music really wasn't working for me. And the sort of ballerina type voice training that classical voice training is about was feeling like it wasn't enough, like I wasn't accessing the full spectrum of my voice. So I was doing a lot of exploration, and I ended up actually working with another voice teacher who's in Venice, California, William Hanrahan, and he also was amazing for me. And he does some pretty intense cathartic voice work with people. That is where I learned it. And he uses it for a lot of vocal rehab, for different kinds of vocal problems that people have and vocal dysfunctions, and also for a lot of performers who are out there performing professionally. So I learned a ton from him, and I started to feel like I was actually accessing more of the primal parts of my voice and more of the deeper, rich, lower end of my voice. And I was just having such a good time with it. And during this time, I also ended up teaching a lot. And one thing led to another. I would meet a person, and then I would have all these referrals for clients. And then I ended up with my own voice studio in LA. And I had that open for 3 years. It was amazing. We did a lot of recitals and had a lot of get-togethers and parties and karaoke things and just really had an amazing time with my clients there in LA. But what was happening is that I had been performing prior to opening the studio, but once I opened the studio, I was so busy. I thought, well, I'm going to give up performing for about 6 months and kind of get things off the ground. Well, 3 years later, I hadn't even gotten back to it. I just did not have enough time, and I was doing a lot of inner work, and it was just, I couldn't juggle everything. So my partner, Marvin, who is also a musician, is from Michigan, and we both were really looking at reassessing our lives and redirecting our life path, and we're lovers of nature and of the seasons. Yes, it's actually true. I actually do love winter. There is that time in February or March where I'm really hoping that we can take trips and go to an exotic and warm locale, something tropical perhaps, so we can take a break from it. But I really do love the hardiness of winter and the invigorating, freezing cold weather, as long as I don't have to be out in it for too long. And I love watching snowfall. So I really do love the seasons. And there's something about the music that we do. We do harp music and piano and voice and percussion. And it just felt like it wasn't being stimulated in California, in that tropical environment and in that super urban environment. So we really felt like we needed to get back to nature if we were going to get back to really making our music and to having the time to make music. It's very expensive and complicated to live in Los Angeles, and we just wanted to simplify, have fewer living expenses, and be able to focus more on our music. So we took that leap and decided to move to Michigan for a year and try it out as kind of a sabbatical and see how it went. And we're here. We love it. We've decided we're going to stay. And now I'm teaching a lot of voice lessons online. And we have a really big vision. I won't share it with you today because I've really already talked a lot. I'm definitely hoping to share it on the next show. And it's really a communal vision. It's an idea about helping other musicians to be able to have the time and the space to make music. But it requires a little bit of explanation. So I want to get into some practical exercises for you to take away from today's show. So one of the things that I really learned about my voice was that it was very much driven by my emotions. And we all know this. When we get nervous, our voice shakes, or we feel tongue-tied and we trip over our words, things just feel different, right? When that adrenaline or cortisol kicks in, we have different bodies to navigate through life with. And what really helped me was starting to pay attention to the sounds in my environment. So I was taking my attention off of externals, like worrying about what other people thought, and I was putting my attention more on my internal experience and on what I was hearing in the world around me, but in a way that I was tuning into how it was affecting my body and how I could interact with those sounds in a positive way. So what we're going to do in a minute is do a sound meditation. I'd like to take a break. I've been talking for a while, so I'm going to have Courtney do some announcements. And then when we come back, I'm going to take you through a little bit of deep breathing, and we'll do a sound meditation. So we'll take a break just for a moment here.
Thank you, Kimberly. Kimberly now teaches voice lessons, primarily online, but she's also teaching in Jackson, Ann Arbor, and throughout Michigan. Offerings include radio, private lessons, voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, voice workshops for yoga teacher trainings, voice workshops for meditation, mindfulness, and healing, sound healing performance with voice and harp. Kimberly's next Michigan Singing for Your Soul voice class will be Saturday, August 22nd from 3 to 5 p.m. at Gidra's Emporium in Brooklyn, Michigan. The class is $15 in advance or $20 at the door. The address is 107 Monroe, Brooklyn, Michigan. Questions are RSVP. You can call or visit singingforyoursoul.com/voice-classes-workshops. If you'd like to stay in touch, receive exclusive content and a free copy of Kimberly's ebook, 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. If you want to be kept into the loop with Kimberly's upcoming musical releases and performances, please join her music mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com/Kimberly/music. If you're interested in private lessons online or in person, or in scheduling Kimberly for a voice workshop or performance, please email her at info@singingforyoursoul.com, or you can call 310-439-9862. We also welcome you to visit her Facebook page at facebook.com/singingforyoursoul. And now back to your host, Kimberly Harrison.
Hello. Thank you, Courtney. That was a mouthful. So what we're going to do is a two-part sound meditation right now. And it's very simple, but again, very profound. So I'm going to give you about a minute here in a moment. Let's just start by deepening our breathing, just feeling into your body and taking a more internal focus than an external one. And just take a few deep breaths. And when I go into this meditation, and I'm going to give you about a minute here, and we're just going to be silent. And you're going to just listen to the sounds of your environment, hopefully deeper than you ever have before. So what I found with sound is that if you start to listen in, it's absolutely fascinating. There are layers and layers to sounds, even when you think it's quiet. You can listen to traffic as the traffic passes by. It's very interesting to listen to the change in pitch of the car as it's passing and the whooshing sound. You can really start to dive in and try to listen to some of the layers that are there. Sometimes you'll hear buzzing in your house, and you can kind of go in there and listen to the sort of sparkly sound of that buzz of the electrical wiring in the house or whatever is going on with your computer. There's also the sound of nature. You may be able to hear wind. You may be able to hear animals running around if you have cats or dogs. There might be things passing by outside. But what we're going to do is just completely place our attention on our sonic environment for about a minute. And then I'll bring you back in. And then we're going to do a sound meditation with some Tibetan bowls as well. Okay? So let's just take about a minute right now. Okay, a minute can seem like a long time sometimes, and sometimes at the blink of an eye. So we're going to do that again, and this time I want you to continue to place your attention deeply into the sounds that you're hearing, and we're going to add in the idea of listening with your whole body. So sound waves are traveling through the air, and they are most prominent with our eardrums. When there are sound waves within the frequencies that we can perceive, they hit our eardrums and we hear them. But we're also hearing with our whole bodies. Sound waves are also coming at us and touching our flesh and our bone and our tissues and organs. So there is an effect, just like when we were noticing how different voices affect our bodies. So we're going to take now, again, about a minute to just listen to sound and also listen with your body and pay attention to what you're feeling and see if you can listen to how different sounds in your environment are affecting your physical body. Okay, so we're going to take about another minute to do that. Okay, so now we're going to cue some music and listen to some Tibetan bowls. They're going to chime 3 times, and Tibetan bowls have amazing healing benefits. So what I'd like you to do is practice what we just did. So put your attention on the sound of that Tibetan bowl and the beautiful resonant quality of it, and feel into it with your body as well as your ears, okay? So we're just going to cue that music. Courtney, can you do that, please? Good. I hope that that sound came through clearly on your end so that it was a meditative experience and not a crazy-making experience. It's always questionable when you're doing live radio or podcasts or things like that. So I hope that you could feel with your body how there's a very real experience that's going on with either your sonic environment when you're, quote-unquote, have nothing going on except for ambient sounds, or when you're listening to something like the Tibetan bowls, which people can actually really use to their benefit for meditation. And there are studies that show that people's anxiety actually lowers when they listen on a regular basis or have their own Tibetan bowls that they play for themselves. And I can definitely say in my own experience that my breathing was able to deepen and I'm able to manage, you know, I have a high level of anxiety that I come by very naturally in my life. It was sort of something that I grew up with in basically a fight or flight response. And I definitely have a tendency to get very excited, to have my nervous system be sort of on edge or hyperactive. And that's sort of just a part of my wiring that I've accepted at this point. But I can do things to continue to help bring it down and help my body to find a set point that's lower than where it has been in the past. And doing sound meditation has been a huge, huge benefit for me. I can calm myself. In fact, before the radio show, I was getting nervous. I still get nervous for stuff. And I sang on my drive to the studio where I'm recording this. And it really does help me. I've actually had clients who will use their crazy vocal exercises on the way to depositions in really ugly lawsuits. And people have used them for all sorts of things to help ground and calm themselves and really to feel a sense of self-empowerment and connection with your own voice and your own ability to speak your truth. So sound meditation is really having a good singing voice starts with your ability to listen. You have to be able to listen so that you could even sing in tune to begin with. And honing our listening ability has so many benefits. So I hope that you felt some of them during that meditation and that you can take that forward into your daily life and start using it as a tool. And you can use it as a tool in two ways. One, you can use it when you're by yourself to help intentionally listen to sounds that would calm you down. So maybe you put a playlist together of music that you really love and you play it before you go to sleep at night. Or maybe you have a nature CD that you love listening to that really is calming. I often, when I can't sleep at night, will listen to the sound of the ocean or the sound of rain falling. I have some of those on my phone on some different apps. And that really does calm me down. Or sometimes it's very soft and gentle music that I will use. So you can use that for a daily or, you know, frequent retuning of yourself and kind of bringing down the volume on your life. Because I know that most of us have really a lot on our plates and we are running around and it's easy to get very scattered and to feel overwhelmed by everything that's going on. So that's a really good tool. And the other way that you can use it is if you find yourself in a situation where you're really not liking the sounds around you, where there's something really obnoxious going on, or maybe you're in a big crowd and it's really noisy and you can feel your body kind of having negative response to it, you can just breathe into it and decide that you're going to shift the way that you're receiving the sound. Literally with your body, you can say, okay, body, we're going to take this and we're going to transform this sound into something that is easier for me to handle. And then as soon as you get out of that situation, you can actually then play yourself something that's calming or get yourself to a quiet place and just do some breathing and see if you can bring that activation down to a more comfortable level. So that's one way to deal with anxiety if you are experiencing it in any way. And it's also, like I said, a way to really listen and begin to hone your ability to listen to others and to listen to your own voice, which definitely comes into play if you're doing voice work and wanting to improve your voice for singing or for speaking. Okay, so I think we're going to wrap the show up today. We covered a lot of material. I really thank you for being here. I hope that you will come back and listen more and perhaps share with friends or family who are interested in singing. I do want to say that I really believe that anyone can sing. I haven't met a person yet who hasn't been able to learn how to match pitch. Yes, we all have different abilities. We all have, you know, different gifts that we were born with, and not everyone is born with the most amazing voice, but if we use our voices, they get better, okay? That's just the fact. If we don't use a muscle, it atrophies, and if we don't use our voices, it's not going to be strong or well-tuned. So I definitely believe that people can learn how to sing if that's something that you're wondering about. I actually have a blog. If you go to singingforyoursoul.com/blog, you can find a blog on tone deafness, where I talk about how it's actually a myth that I really don't believe in, and some of the ways that you can actually begin to learn how to sing in tune. So if you're interested in checking that out, there's a blog, and there's also a video that I've made, a couple of videos within the blog that you can watch as well about tone deafness and about how to start learning how to sing in tune. So with that, I really want to wish you well on your journey. I thank you for sharing your time with me today, and I want to just send you a big, big namaste, a big thank you over the airwaves. So namaste, thank you so much for being here today.